Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon, it's Shelly Nunchucks on the Shelly Nunchuck Show, and I'm here with my little co-host, Furball, Jackie Chan Kitty. I just had this weird thing happen to me outside. Some woman comes up, knocks on, hearing someone knocking on my door. I got two doors here, so I go out, and it's like, you know, I don't like to have people, you know, just randomly show up at my house without calling first. So I'm like, I care, and knock, 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 and I go to my door, and this woman's standing there and, like, says, is so-and-so there? And I'm like, what? And, yeah, is so-and-so there? Here? And I'm like, no, don't have any idea. So I'm sitting here going, okay, you know. And so she went about her business. And it's just like those random things where you're just like, huh? And I think you might have the wrong house, lady. But anyway, I've been up since 6 a.m., trying to get this show together, and I guess I found out that there's a program that has to do with Blog Talk Radio, and you have to use Adobe Flash Player. So now I admit I'm kind of a tech tard here, you know, trying to learn as I go, because as I know that I've been doing the show, you know, it's heading towards being syndicated, my show, and also with Ordinary Woman. And I'd like to make an announcement in a few minutes for Ordinary Woman. And also, I am waiting for my guest to call in. He's out there in California. I'm very, very excited. But, you know, as I do what I got to do. Keep talking and talking and talking. This is what happens when maybe I shouldn't be drinking coffee at the same time as doing the radio show live because I get so hyper. But I try to bring the energy down. And, you know, going back to what I was saying about, you know, doing the show and everything, I've been doing it for over a year. And I've had many wonderful guests on my show. And I'm very, very thankful, very, very blessed. And now with the Ordinary Woman show that I'm affiliated with Charlie Alejandro, and I hope I say her name right, she's my sister. Well, you know, maybe not sister in blood, but, you know, in life, families can grow, and it goes beyond blood. You know, I truly believe that. And I want to make an announcement on the show. Charlie, on her show, she's going to have a guest, and the person's name is Seth Chitwood. And the actors from Englewood Films will be on the show Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m. So this coming Tuesday, Seth Chatwood and the actors from Englewood Films will be on Charlie, Ordinary Woman, Alejandro, Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m. So if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see that we're interconnected with each other. And she will be making announcements for my show, and I'll be making announcements for her show. So as I'm waiting for my guest to call in, which I think people will be kind of excited about, mostly I've brought people in from the martial arts world, stuntmen and stuff, and I'm looking to bring other people on the show, you know, upcoming actors and stuff, because really why I'm really happy and blessed for doing a radio show, there's people within the past 10 years, you know, working on my dream, and everybody knows I dream of working with Jackie Chan someday. And nothing is being handed to me. And even though I've connected with real-life ninjas, which, I mean, people that, you know, are great martial artists that are really ninjas on big Hollywood sets. And they've been very kind of masters of martial arts, people that have been around, like people like Bruce Lee and stuff. And I feel very blessed to get to know these people. And I've grown up watching their work. And the great thing now is that there's another whole new generation, like a lot of people that the fathers, you know, they have sons and stuff. I'm hoping to have people on my show, their sons on my show, because I'd like to show the next generation. And for me to be able to do a radio show, I, you know, it's not like about stardom and being the star of a show. I mean, I like to talk and, you know, heading towards syndication. That's what you want to get really, you know, out there with the radio shows to get paid. I mean, if you have a dream and you get paid for it, it's not the fact of being a millionaire, you know, for getting paid what you love. I think become successful. You know, like, to me, what success is. You know, it's not, I mean, everybody wants to be millionaires. And we got to all admit that. We all got to pay bills with money. That's the truth. You know, it puts food in your fridge, unless you're making your own food and everything. I mean, there are ways around it, and it's probably more healthier if you grow your own food. You know, that's another thing to look at. But I think becoming successful, not necessarily meaning about having college degrees and all these things, and it's good to go to college to learn and to educate your mind, to expand your mind. But I think when you become self-made and you get paid for loving what you do, maybe you're not going to make millions of dollars with what you're love doing, whether you're a rapper, musician, actor, stunt person, radio personality, or anything. You know, if you love what you're doing, which is great. And if you get to do it for a hobby, which is a blessing, if you get to do it, you know, part-time, if you have a full-time job, because a lot of people in the business, independent filmmakers and such, you know, they take a lot of money out of their own pockets to make films. And they're supporting families and stuff. And from what I've seen a lot of indie films that are really quality work. And it really surprised me, and I've tried to open my mind even more going beyond action films. And as you all know, I am not a big chick flick type of girl. I mean, granted, I do like some chick flicks. I mean, here and there, I have my favorites. But trying to open my mind up into, you know, getting to other things. Like, I just, you know, I tried, and people say open your mind, but if I don't like something and I try it, I mean, I already know ahead of time I'm not going to like something, especially any certain films and such. To each their own, but people are like, oh, be open-minded. So I go to try to watch those films, and I still don't like them. It has nothing to do with the actors, their personal lives or anything. It's just not my type of film to watch. You know, everybody has their own thing. And, I mean, do you really want me to sit here and lie? You know, everybody will say something, you know, about films and stuff. Am I supposed to go along with the crowd? And just because something's really, really popular, am I supposed to agree just because everybody else is around me about a film or something? I mean, that would make me come off being fake. So I know what I like. I would go, I mean, really seriously, I mean, I like a good drama, but I will not go pay in the movie theaters to sit and cry. Not if, it's not against the actors or anything like that, but when I go to a movie theater, I love to be entertained. We all know how much it costs. It's like you got to pay a mortgage to go see a movie nowadays, you know, for a movie ticket and such. It costs a lot of money. And, you know, to go there, especially if you're going to go at night. So if I'm going to watch a drama, I'd rather watch a drama film, you know, at home, because I'm going to be the first one to sit and bawl my eyes out. Yes, yes, I'm going to admit it openly everywhere in the world today. If I watch a drama film, I will be the first one to be bawling my eyes out. You know, I know when actors, you know, they give a good performance, I'll be crying and bawling my eyes out. I just don't want to sit and cry in a movie theater because everybody's like, oh, something's so wonderful. But if I see a drama film and I'm bawling my eyes out, it's not going to make me feel wonderful afterwards. I want something that's going to make me feel alive. And everybody, I like some special effects, but I think when a film goes with too much CG. I mean, it's great to have some CG and this stuff, but it's kind of, you look at it and you sit there and you wonder, the future of films, is it just going to be all CG and stuff? And I like to see, you know, I look at everything, and when I go, when I go to a theater and watch a film, I might watch it differently than the rest of my friends. I will watch, you know, I just watch the angles of how the camera angles on. I'm trying to become aware of how the director is cutting, you know, close-ups, you know, back and forth where the camera's angles are and how it's panning. And I'm trying to learn and really study in film. So for me to go to a film, you know, it's something where I actually do study them. I try to, even when I've been to see drama films, comedy films, I try to study the actors themselves. And, I mean, I have my favorites. Everyone knows it's Jackie, but it's something where I will look at films and I'll, like, try to look at the expressions, because you can learn from other actors, which is a good thing. Now, taking classes and such, you got to really think about this. Everybody's been telling me certain things, and it's like, it's true. Maybe some people, you know, it's good to hone in on your craft. That is definitely true. I totally understand and get that. And sometimes on the internet, I can't get out what I want to say. Because the art of communication is lost on the internet, and no matter how much I try to explain myself as best as I can, maybe it's something where I will have to take a writing course and maybe just sit with someone, because even trying to learn myself, I just have these things where, you know, even just try to take online, if you don't have an instructor there and everything's done, you know, computerized, everything, you're just reading in front of you, who is there to teach you to be in front of you, you know, going back and forth? I need a teacher. So with anything, too, everything costs money. And people say, oh, Shelley, come to these seminars and such. And I'm like sitting here going, well, everything is money. If there was something where I could barter, you know, like for what, promotion and classes and stuff, I'd be willing to do that. But it's just something where, you know, classes are not that, you know, cheap. They're expensive. They're really, really expensive. And even trying to find, you know, it took me quite a long time since I moved. I mean, I was starting to get in touch with other photographers back home in Boston. And knowing that, you know, I mean, I was starting to find people, but I had moved to Maine. So So I was looking for a photographer to really understand about me that would give me an angle about taking pictures and such, because everybody's like, you need to update pictures and do this and that. And I've been working on the same film for so long. I haven't gone out for auditions. I can understand when people are saying, when you're going out to audition, you need to get good headshot, right? Well, things that I've been working on, the radio show, and I'm trying to do a comic book character now and other things. If I'm going to pay for money for something, I want it to go towards something that I'm going to actually be doing and involved in. I haven't gone out for any auditions, so right now I don't need a headshot. But the thing I would do, if there's people out there that are taking pictures and need help, you know, for their work and wanting to let, you know, their photographers, they can get in touch with me and I can have them on the show and help them out. And, you know, I'm very lucky. I found a photographer that's working with me, and this person's really wonderful. I love what he's done, and I'm just very comfortable, you know, with the photographer I have. And once again, I'm very blessed. And yes, people, I know it's about 20 minutes into the show. I'm waiting. I'm hoping. You know, as far as I know, I do have a guest for my show. It's quite possible because of the time zone. It's something that I'm just hoping. I have another hour and a half for the show, so if people want to call in, remember to call in 347-989-1473, 347-989-1473. Anybody, you know, you can listen into the chat room. And getting more and more into things, I feel blessed. And I'm trying very hard, like I said, and I apologize because I have written something and I was trying to help someone, give someone advice, because a person was young on the internet. And I said, well, you should do it like this. This is so you could stand out. So I was meaning to help, and I really meant that, is to help someone. And someone else that I wasn't even speaking to went on this tangent, and I'm going, no, that's not what I mean. I mean to help out, because in the industry, what I'm trying to do, you know, it's not thinking of become a superstar or anything. And because people are helping me and giving me advice, I'm taking stuff with what I'm learning to try to help other people. And I think sometimes, like I said, on the internet, it is so hard. And people take things the wrong way, no matter how hard, even trying to write the best, and I'm trying to filter with what I say in my head to write on the internet to help people. I think sometimes people take it the wrong way, and I apologize about that, and I'm trying to learn. I'm only a human being, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not some, how can I say, I'm not, what's it called? I'm trying to think, you know, Mensa, if I'm saying it correctly, I know I talk funny, but I think it's M-E-N-S-A, like really a brilliant mind, like really that extremely brilliant, you know, and there's people that are really extremely smart. There's no way that I'm near that. I'm not some martial arts master, and I try to explain as best as I can, and I'm trying to, people try to ask what I am, what I'm about. I'm just a woman. I'm not some beauty queen pageant, anything like that. I've had a love for martial arts. I only have some training in martial arts. Let's get this on the table right now, put the cards on the table. I have some martial arts training, and I'm never trying to come off as this big, huge black belt, big, huge competition stuff. I loved martial arts since I was little, but because I had to hide it, I was scared to talk about things that I loved. I was a geek and a nerd, and then, you know, really, as I got older, I said, you know, there's no one to stop me for things that I'm loving. Of course, sometimes it's money. You've got to get the money to do the things you want. Believe me, there are so many things out there in the world I'd want to do. And I'm seeing these seminars, like Douglas Wong. He's out there in California. He was like, he had met Bruce Lee, and he's doing all these seminars and stuff. And, you know, there's so many things I would love to see. There's many people getting in touch with me about seminars and stuff. But to get there, you're going to have the money. You get to have money. And I just wish so much. I mean, there's so many martial arts seminars in the United States, but there were so many cool ones I've been seeing in California. I'm like, man, all the martial arts seminars I'm missing out in California. Damn. But, you know, who knows, maybe someday, you know. And like I said, when you have a dream and you know, success, I really, really think it is, it's not being the most richest person in life. I think it's being happy and content. That is the first thing. And if you can hear, even though I'm a spaz and I talk kind of funny, I'm kind of content right now. I'm exhausted from filming Valkyrie yesterday, and we're getting more, finally halfway done with the film. We have one more scene before we go into the big battle scene. I have been waiting for this, for Falkir to do the battle scene for so long. And I know I've been not working out as much, and I know I'm going to have to work out a lot. I'm going to have to for that battle scene. And I just know people, even like my guest that I'm waiting to call in, hopefully this person is going to call in soon, you know, to have people like that on my radio show and be able to connect with people like that. And other people that I've watched my whole life, I'm sitting here going, man, it's a blessing, because it's like I feel like a little kid all over again, because this works that I've seen in films my whole life. And a lot of times, a lot of the stuntmen and women, you know, when I was growing up, no one knew who they were. Maybe in the industry, in that circle they did, but really in the audience, people would look at the actors, and I was like, man, the stunts are nice. Well, you can't say, I don't know if you can say the stunt work is nice, but I mean, to me, I'm so hypnotized by movements and even just watching. And I've never really done competitions. I went to do, you know, in Capoeira, I went and I wasn't in the competition. I mean, you go on a rota and you go two people in a circle and it's called playing the game and such. But I just like going seeing, you know, people perform live. And just trying to learn, I mean, at my age, I think, you know, it'd be a blessing to learn more. And I always said, even before I got into acting, I had said, if I got a point in my life, and I ever got, like, a big head or anything, or, you know, had too much of a big head on my shoulders, I would quit acting altogether. Because the truth be told, when I stepped in a dojo a couple years ago, that's what gave me the self-esteem to get into acting. And that's the truth. That is the honest-to-God truth. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't look like a beauty queen. How can I get into acting? But then I realized in acting, there's so many different parts. And I should have realized this because I've seen so many crazy different films. I look at Kung Fu Hustle, right? You got to look at this film. And with Stephen Chow and the actors, and I'm trying to remember her name, but when I first watched the film and I saw the landlady, you know, she had the curlers on and the cigarette, and I says, oh, man, she's mean. I don't like her. Didn't know who she was. As I was watching the film, the person that ends up being my favorite character in the whole film was the actress that played the landlady and not Stephen Chow. And I was like, man, I love her. And she has, like, this boyfriend, this guy in there. And then I saw, I think it was Kung Fu Mahjong, and that had her in it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was the film she was in that. And I'm sitting here going, my gosh, this woman is awesome. And I have to say, I've never had a lot of role models that were women. I mean, I had a few here and there, but most of my role models are men. And having, you know, getting to know some role models that are women now, I felt so happy because it was like, wow, I can look up to a lot of women now too. So I'm very happy about that too. And if one of some woman out there that I like to say thanks, besides Charlie, thank you, my big sis, I give you a shout out. But another girl who's kind of like myself, it's Melissa Tracy. And I think she's one of my guests, Johnny Crane's, I think, girlfriend. I think that's Johnny Crane was on my show. You guys all know, well, some of you might not know, but Johnny Crane was one of the first stunt guys, martial artists, that came onto my show when Johnny Crane had fought Jet Li on a set, and there was like, I have to interview if you want some, but I wanted to give a shout out to Melissa Tracy out there, and I hope I get to work with her someday. It was like, maybe we can play sisters, badass sisters. I don't know. I'm like, am I allowed to swear? I have to be careful because it's going towards syndication. So I don't know how much. I gotta go ask Charlie, ask her about, you know, am I not allowed to swear anymore? I know it's still the internet, but if we're heading towards syndication, I don't think radio lets us swear, but I don't know what are considered swear words nowadays. You know, the F word is rarely considered a swear. You're not really supposed to say that, so I do ask people, don't use that word on my show anymore. I'm going to have to find out more rules and regulations as I go, but I have been doing the show for a year, and I'm hoping that my guest calls in. I'm praying there. Like I said, it is, it's on California time, and I'm just sitting here hoping, because I had posted it, and I'm just trying very, very hard to make sure that I set up the show right and take care of everything of what's supposed to be going on. And I think I've been doing a pretty good job for the past year. Granted, there's days that are beautiful outside, really, really beautiful outside. And, you know, today is a gorgeous day outside, and I'm sitting in a studio doing the radio show. Well, it comes to a conclusion, you know, working so much and being exhausted, if you want to become successful, you got to work for it. And, you know, I used to be like, because I'd see, you know, things that are handed to people. And I'm like, you know, that person's got something handed to them. What about me? But thinking, starting from the ground up is not such a bad thing. Just doing it step by step in my own way, you know, running the show, it's a responsibility. And then just seeing that if you go to the link, and the Charlie Alangelo show, and my big sister, if she's out there listening, I still can't pronounce her name correctly. You know, she's a wonderful, wonderful person, another person that I look up to. And the things that she does, I'm just like, I kind of want to be like her. You know, I just haven't, like I said, I know I repeat myself, but I've had people that I've looked up my whole life, and most of them were men. I know it sounds screwy, but I've always said I never wanted to be Barbie. I wanted to be a ninja. You know, it's just something that I've always wanted to be. I've always wanted to be a ninja. So it's a blessing having people that are able to call in. Like I said, Johnny Crane was one of the first stunt martial artist guys, and for any listeners out there, Johnny Crane actually fought with Jet Li on a film. He interviewed Jackie Chan. He's such a great crazy guy, crazy character in films and such. And he just, I guess one of his films, Battle B-Boy, had just won some awards. So congratulations to Johnny Crane out there. And I'm hoping to bring him on the show. I'm pretty sure I'll get these people back on my show. Douglas Wong, oh my gosh, I get this guy on my show. Let me tell you, we talk and we talk, we talk. I can't even believe how fast a two-hour show can go on and on. And Douglas Wong, he's actually trained people like Kevin Sorbo for Hercules, Lucy Lawless from Xena, Jason Scott Lee from Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, and many people. And he's doing a lot of seminars out there in California. And I'll repost, so anybody that's out in the California area, you can actually check Douglas out and say, hey, hey, Douglas, I found out about your seminar through Shelly Nuntux, and give Douglas a hug for me. But, you know, he's a master, so when you go into the dojo or anything, you might have to bow. I mean, you know, it's out of respect and everything. So, you know, if you want to check those seminars with Douglas, they do many different great seminars with Douglas. He's been going here and there, and I think he was just down in Mexico and some other places, too. And I've had him on the show quite a few times. He's a big inspiration to me, and I'm hoping to get his son, Travis Wong, on my show. He's been doing a lot of stuff. Travis Wong was behind the scenes for Jennifer Lopez's Follow Me, that hardcore video that Travis and his peeps were doing that show. But from what Travis had told me, because I was writing to Travis, Douglas' son, he wasn't in the video, in Jennifer Lopez's video. He was actually behind the scenes, but I guess he's doing something for Red Bull. And if you look up Travis Wong, W-O-N-G, and you look up his stuff, you'll see everything he's doing. Amazing young man. And there was a part on a video I watched where Travis is something, I'll have to watch it again because I sometimes have to watch things over and over again to retain something in my mind. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make excuses for having any learning disabilities or anything like that, but I do have to watch something a few times. I do remember on Travis Wong's website, one of the videos, and they snacked him, I think, with flour or sugar or something. I'm like, what the heck? And that supposed to represent something. So you can check out Douglas' son. I'm trying to think who else was on my show. Oh, yes, my ninja pal, Stephen Lambert. Oh, my God. I cannot believe, you know, I mean, I'm a big Jackie Chan fan, but I got to tell you guys something. Stephen Lambert, he's been in so many things that I can't even believe I watched his stuff. I didn't even know this guy did all this work. And sitting there and seeing Stephen post all these pictures, I'm going, this is Stephen. I've been watching his work all these years growing up. If you remember, well, here's the one small thing. Stephen Lambert is really a martial arts ninja. He does all these stunts. I'm not kidding. If you check him out, you can look him up too on an IMDb page. One thing that Stephen Lambert got to do, this is going to blow you guys away. Really, really going to blow you away. In the history of stunts and such, Stephen, I think, was one of the first men who did stunts on top of the Statue of Liberty. No, I'm not kidding. In the 80s, I don't know if you guys remember Remo Williams, that film, but he actually did stunts on top of the Statue of Liberty's head, and he's swinging, and I'm like, Stephen's crazy. And I'm going to tell you, stuntmen and martial arts stuntmen, they're all crazy. And people are going to be like, Shelly, how can you say that about stunt people? Because it's true. Who is normal in their right mind is going to go out and do these things and being crazy? You got to be, but you got to really think about it. For being crazy, you got to be very, very careful, because having Stephen Lambert on my show, he told me about a stunt that, you know, if they didn't test it out, he went to go ahead and do it. I mean, he went and explained about this. It was really high up with some stories high up in the air. And I guess they put some sort of sandbag or something, I'm trying to remember, and it, like, broke or something before, you know, they tested it out. So Stephen does know that there's, with doing stunts, you know, that's something where it is dangerous. And I've seen him do many things. He was an American Ninja. And with American Ninja, he did a lot of stunts in that. I mean, the guy is a real ninja. So Stephen Lambert, he's pretty cool. What I'm trying to think about, who else is on my show, martial arts. I'm getting more and more people, and I'm looking if you guys know, a lot of people probably would know, and you can look up Don the Dragon Wilson. I'm looking to have him on my show in the future, and I will let you guys know, and he's really, really cool, and you have to look up, he's actually a living legend, and the guy, he's got $1 million legs. Let me say, these legs are crazy legs. You got to look up his boxing matches, and he's been in the Guinness Book of World Records for about, I don't know how many times. I know he holds the kickboxing title for 11 years. He's been in over 24 action films. So, you know, he's going to be on my show in the future, and I'm connecting with more and more people. And since I've been so busy and stuff, I'm trying to get my lineup going for people. So people have been sending me bio stuff. If anybody's out there, you know, and like to call in and say hi, number is 347-989-1473. Make sure you call this number, 347-989-1473. So, yeah, I'm just waiting for my guest to call in here. And let's see, I'm going to take a little break because I need a little bit more coffee. Let's see, what song should I play here? I'm trying to find a very fun song to take a little break. Let's see. What should I play to go to a little break? I'm so indecisive. Now I really sound like a woman. I'm indecisive what song I want to play. But here's a little break I'm going to take, and I shall be back.
Thank you.
Okay, I just played Phineas, and that was by Pisces Project by Horace Accord and Lisa and his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari. And that was a song with a man that I'm actually working with on a film called Foul Care. And it's actually to do an action film, doing the film that I've been working on, I've got to say, I give more props to the stunt people. And I'm actually, waiting to hear my guest call it, I'd like to bring up some information about, another martial artist. I'm just trying to find in here, because you can find many things, the official websites. Since you guys, usually I talk about a guy, martial artist, but let me see if I can find somewhere here, if I can find it. I'm trying to, the magic touch, Google. Let's see. I'm trying to bring this up. Just give me one moment. I'm trying to multitask. One thing to my ear and one thing to my hand. And magic search engine of Google. Google is that magic, wonderful thing on the internet. And let's see. And I shall find, if I can, let's see if I can find website for Melissa Tracy. She was actually, I mentioned her like for a few minutes, if there's something, is there action reel? Melissa Tracy is an actress and she's a stunt woman. And I'd like to read a little bit about her, and I will be having her as a guest on my show. But just to read a little bit about Melissa, and I'm pulling it up from her IMDb page, and it says here, Melissa Tracy. Melissa is known in the industry for her intensity, commitment, and energy she brings to her roles in action acting. She is an uncommon performer that can handle detailed action roles and at a such high expertise intensity as her acting. Expertise as an actor includes weapons, firearms, military and police swordplay, Eastern and Western, knives, boxing, kickboxing, sabat, and martial arts in English and Western, horsework, medical. I'm reading this stuff actually off her IMDb page. Melissa Tracy, her strong stage presence and fearless performances come from lifelong of strong theatrical acting, having done over 20 musicals and plays and live performances as a dancer, mime, clown. Yes, she can make a balloon animal since the age of 5. During grammar school, summer vacation, she ventured into performing in films. Her love for the magic of films and filmmaking continues. As a stand-up comic, Melissa has performed in venues throughout California, such as Improv, The Comedy Store, The Ice House, Bungalow 13, Rio Clubs, M-Bar, as well as many others. Mixing her character acting with her physical comedy improv skills, martial arts, weapons, background, clever writing, and her edgy, fearless, take-no-prisoner approach is appreciated by all audiences. Melissa has also produced many comedy shows as well as same venues. Melissa has 10 years of extensive actor training with John Kirby, Peter Spellos, James Hong, Jeff Lubin, and Jason Alexander. She has performed improv at L.A. Connection and the Bang Comedy Theater, always making work for herself and others. Melissa has assisted in the writing of plays and assisting producing them. Melissa's current action film, Gamers, Geeks, and Zombies, rewritten by Vaughn Shuchat, with her team of producers and Malik Akkad, Rob Zombie's Halloween. Most recently, Melissa acted in feature film Raven, directed by Gregory J. Martin. She currently is enjoying sword fighting for a motion capture studio. Melissa has co-written, produced, and performed in Best in Protection, featured at the Cannes Film Festival, and was picked up by Spike TV. In addition, Melissa is currently training in combat for film with film As Laxon and various instructors. Her areas of expertise include martial arts, fire, arms, military, and police, all weapons, savate, Western boxing, swordplay, both Asian and European system, most currently ninjutsu, tumbling. Ninjutsu, that means Melissa's a female ninja. Oh, my God, I love that. Oh, no wonder why she's so cool. I got to have Melissa on my show. I just got to go to Melissa's page. What a sexy woman this woman is. God, fellas, I'm telling you. So Melissa, bringing up her page, I just want to say, I guess she's originally from New Zealand. Okay. And I just got to see this doggy pitches on there. And I'm trying to, like, look at Melissa's Facebook page and see what she's been up to. There's a lot of dog pitches on there. Oh, this woman's after. This woman is like, just like loves swords too. It's just, it sells a sword. I don't know what it's sword, but it's really, really kind of cool. And I'm clicking on, money cannot buy happiness, but it can buy a new sword. Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing. I'm sharing. I love this. I'm actually putting it on my Facebook page as we speak. Okay. It's really, you know, that is really kind of cool. I'm going to have Melissa on my show. Let's see. I'm just trying to go. I'm just trying to pull up Melissa's Facebook page. And I see all these pictures of dogs on her page. She's really a pretty cool lady. And little fellas, I can tell you, she's a very sexy woman. Melissa Tracy, she's very, very down to earth. And you can actually find her. And I'm just trying to bring up some of her pictures just to see, you know, as I'm waiting for my guest to call in. I'm going to have to wing it a little bit, like, you know, got to do what you got to do. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to find more about Melissa Tracy. Okay. Let's see. I'm looking up on the internet because, like I said, Google is a very magical thing. And I was hoping to find if Melissa Tracy had a website. Let's see. She's been working on, film she's been working on. It's in post-production. It's 2013, Legend of the Red Reaper. 2013, A Place Called Hollywood. Zombie Fight, 2012. Why? The Last Man Rising, 2012. Little Klaus, Big World, 2011. Raven, 2010. Best Production, 2006, Alley, 2004, and so she's been kind of doing stuff. She's really, really busy here, so I will have Melissa on my show in the future. We've talked about that. I'm going to get her on my show, so I'll have a lineup and have her on there, and it's really kind of cool because she's on, like, a Wonder Woman t-shirt, too. And it's kind of cool. It's like we have a lot of the a little bit similar personalities. But imagine I'd be on working on set with Melissa. Oh man, me and you should play some Superwoman. I just had to give her props because I think she's really, really kind of cool. And I'm looking to see other people. You know, other people like to talk about. Just bringing it up here. Hold on for one second, peeps. Once again, just to make an announcement on Charlie's show. Okay, once again, this Tuesday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., it's Standard Eastern Time, I believe. Chef Chetwood and the actress from Englewood is going to be on her show, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Tuesday. So there's a little there for you something. And, you know, anybody out there that's listening to my show, you know, I know a lot of people have dreams and such, and they think because they're not in the acting business, singing or whatever, and they can't do it. You know, it's just to take a little step to get into your dreams. There's so many casting companies out there, and if you think that you have to be a beautiful model and such, I mean, some roles require certain looks and such. That is true. But there's so many films out there, they need many, many different type of characters for films. You know, maybe you can just go, I mean, I know on the East Coast, the name of some companies, and they do not charge people to let you know with casting companies. I'm going to tell you straight out right now. Unless, like, I mean, I don't know, I don't have an agent. I think an agent gets you work, and they take a percentage of what you get paid. I don't know if it's 10%. I don't know about that. I'm not in SAG. I'm non-union. But from the casting companies that I belong to, and I still get the emails to work, there's so much work that's been going on this summer. It's just that I've been up here in Maine. A couple of the companies on the East Coast you know, I can let you guys know about it. Anybody that gets in contact with me, I will get you guys to the right people. It's something where, you know, people know that casted, like, films like Gone Baby Gone and other things. So you can start off as an extra. And then the other thing about working on sets, you know, getting on there, you'll meet people who you can end up blending with. And, I mean, people that you'll feel you're connected to. And then you get to meet more and more people. That's all you have to do. Just get on one film set and you start, you know, you network with a lot of people. I mean, if you get on a film set, I know in Boston there's been a lot of filming. You know, you're not supposed to bother the big name celebrity actors, which, you know, you get all excited. Your first time on a film set, you do get excited. I've mentioned before I worked on the set with The Rock, and I would work with The Rock again. And that was, like, my favorite all-time, one of my favorite films to have worked on. He's just a big, huge man, The Rock. Or he goes by now, what, Dwayne Johnson? I don't even know if he does, but... You know, when you say The Rock, you know what I'm talking about. And I saw pictures, and I'm pulling up The Rock. I'll pull up The Rock's thing right here. Just give me one moment. My gosh. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Oh, my gosh. He's doing this thing called Hercules. I didn't think this guy could get any bigger. But him playing Hercules, yeah, he's huge. What the heck does this guy eat? Oh, my God. Oh, and please don't say steroids. I'm getting sick of it. No. If you follow a person, you can see what he's doing from time to time. The guy eats like I don't even know how you can say he's huge. If you see this thing with him and Hercules, oh, my God. There's a picture. It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so I guess he does on his Facebook page go by that. And if you see this picture from his back, it's Hercules. Oh, my God, I'm scared. I just don't know what this guy, he does, he has cheat days. You should see he eats pancakes and everything on his cheat day. So, wow, whoa, look at him. Oh, my God, The Rock is huge. So right now I'm going to take another little break. I'm going to play another song, and it's actually Baby Boy by Sacrifice, and I'll be back.
I got my world rocked and introduced to my best friend. At that point I realized my path to be is to be the best father I could possibly be. Then I held you for the first time, I saw in your face that you knew who I was, that you felt so safe. Make no mistake, because I felt safe too. The way you fit right in my arms, it was like face true. You're meant for great things, I could tell you gon' rise. Because your eyes so alive, they as blue as the skies. I wouldn't lie, you're the reason I breathe. Because you smile so bright, the sunshine that I need. Yes, you're my little man, kissing on your little hand. Listen, you my shining star, proving there's a bigger plan. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, and your mom, we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
Day I changed, the day I claimed, the best day to clear my reign. I used to be filled with just anger and pride. Now it's just pride for you, no more anger inside. Between you and your mom, I learned the meaning of love, the needing of hugs. Above, I see the meaning of doves. Oh yes, I'll protect you and guide you from harm. And nothing's better than the feelings when I hold you in my arms. When times are hard and the clouds are gray, I see you smile and realize life will be okay. Before you, it was just me and all that time, but now it's us, so trust, everything's just fine. My little prince, it's the king and I, sing with pride, spread your little wings and fly. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, your mom, and we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy. You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there. Because of you, man, I'm reaching the best. I feel the love and the warmth, you fall asleep on my chest. Feel the pattern when you breathe, the scent of your hair. As I kiss your little forehead, ahead, you know I'm right there, and I'll never leave your side. I'm here forever, teach you to be a man through the stormy weather. Anything that you need, I'm here for you, clear and true. In the physical, my spirit too, with my son it stays fun, a passionate joy. You make me laugh when you splash in the back with your toys. When your mom tries to feed you, you spit out your food, look at her and start laughing, little things that you do. When I see you, I see me, we're one and the same. You're my child, my first son, I gave you my name. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you, your mama, we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared when you need me, just call and I'll be right there. A pace, my nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face, hands take, can't escape this decision I make, heart racing, my faith says this is my fate, I just brace and I take in the face of adversity, tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me, gain on, a bomb on my pain stronger, fame smarter, street smarter, train harder, can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing, I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving, all heart leave these cowards on cold, I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold, keep moving, keep training, headstrong, be patient, meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
It's Shelly and the Shelly and Chuck Show, and I'm back, and I'm be playing a little bit of music here and there. And I apologize. I think things might have got a little bit crossed because it could be a different time zone. My guest could possibly be in, and it, you know, if it's my fault, I apologize because I thought I had the time zone thing right. Because when I'm in touch with guests and on my show, people are in different time zones. So I apologize, and I hope people. You know, I don't want anybody to think anything bad or anything. It's just that sometimes some things do happen. So if by the end of the show, you know, I could always try to get my guest to call back in. So I'll just wing it and talk about what I usually talk about, things like that, to cover things here. Once again, I do apologize. I was supposed to have a guest on my show, so I'm sorry. it's my fault. If it is with the time zone thing, where my guest is, once again, I apologize because I thought I had told the person, you know, Standard Eastern Time, and I'm pretty sure that's when I say noon, Standard Eastern Time. I think I make an announcement on my shows because I'm in Maine. That's where I run my shows. So in the future, all my guests, I hope you guys realize that my shows are at noontime. It's Standard Eastern Time. I'm located in Maine. I'm originally from Boston, as you can hear in the accent. And then also Sunday nights are 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time. So that's when my show is on the air, wherever you guys are. I hope where you can all stay in sync so that I can get everyone on my show here. So anyway, I'm trying to look up to see what the action films are of. What's the latest action films? IMDb. Let's see. Let's look it all up here. You know, I am an action chick here, and I want to see, I try to keep up IMDb page. Yeah, I have an IMDb page. I haven't updated it, so yeah, I don't shoot me because I didn't update my IMDb pages for a couple of years. But I am going to go to IMDb page and see what's the latest stuff that's going on for films. See featured HD trailers. We'll look to see what's... Okay, I guess here's some vampire. Is there another 300 Rise of the Empire? I think that's a new one that's going to be coming out. And that's 2014, 300 Rise of an Empire. I guess there's another one of those coming out. Let's see. I'm pulling it up. I'm looking at the IMDb page. Let's see. It looks like is there another Muppet movie coming out? Is that really true? Did I miss that one? Did I see that one? No, it says Muppets Most Wanted. And then that's coming out in 2014. The Conjuring, that's already out, right? Yeah, 2013, that's already out. Let's see. The new Thor movie. Okay, so I'm mentioning a Thor movie, and I'm in a movie. All right, forgive me, shoot me. People, they're probably like, what are you doing talking about another Thor? Hey, I can talk about it because, honestly, I have to be honest. I was like, you know, I didn't even give it a chance, and I was like, oh, whatever. But then I watched the Thor movie, and I was kind of like, you know, I got kind of a little hooked. But the thing is with the new Thor film, the thing that I didn't like a little bit about the plot, I know he got sent to Earth, and that's the plot of how he got to Earth, is if you're immortal, how do you get your powers taken away? Now, I mean, I know Thor and his father and everything, but I just didn't think gods can actually have their powers taken away. But there's another Thor movie coming out. Let's see, what's this one? I guess that looks like James Gandolfini's last film, enough said, rest in peace. James Gandolfini, who passed away a couple months ago. I feel blessed that I got to work on some of the actors from The Sopranos. I feel very blessed to have been able to work with some of the guys from the show on some independent films there. And I'm pulling up the IMDb page, see what else is coming out. Did I see that? I don't know. Immortal Instrumental. What is that? What's this? The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. 2013. Is that out right now? It says, when her mom is attacked and taken from the home in New York City by a demon, a seemingly ordinary teenage girl, Clary Frey, finds out truth about her past and bloodline on her quest to get her back. That changes her entire life. Seeing that Pain and Gain. I don't know how that's, oh my gosh, is The Rock huge. But I guess that's Mark Wahlberg. It says, a trio of bodybuilders in Florida get caught up in an extortion ring in a kidnapping scheme that goes terribly wrong. I think I remember seeing some pictures of The Rock with some of his fans down in Florida, and he was huge, and he's still huge. Man, the guy just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and, man, I would love to work with him on a film set again someday. I mean, I didn't get to run lines with him, but being on a set, my gosh, the man is huge, and now he's even huger. Oh, can you tell I like The Rock? Let's see. World War Z. I guess that's the one that says United Nations employee Jerry Lane traverses the world in a race against time to stop the zombie pandemic that is toppling armies and governments and threatening to destroy humanity itself. So that's the Brad Pitt film. I mean, there's so many films I want to see. The Iceman, one of my film brothers, Jay Giannani's in that. And I think that was, might have been nominated, but The Iceman, which was 2012, the true story says 2012, but it came out in 2003. I could have sworn that just came out this year. So I was posting about it on my Facebook page, but it says 2012. I could be wrong. The true story of Richard Kuklinski, the notorious contact killer and family man, when finally arrested in 1986, neither his wife nor daughters have any clue about his real profession. That's got to be scary. I mean, it's just something that, okay, let's see. What else do we have? An IMDb page. I'm just looking to see what other films. That's Xbox. Let's see. Anything else? Wolverine. Oh, my God. Hugh Jackman. Oh, yes. The Wolverine. Yes. Yum, yum, yum. Did I say yum? Let's see. How about if I bring about Hugh Jackman? I'd like to read a little something about Hugh Jackman here. Of course, the guy is actually, he's played a lot of musical, and he's like, he's very versatile. He's playing the, you know, El Wolverine, so I'm going to bring up his full biography. And Hugh Jackman. And it has a mini biography. Hugh Jackman, born in Sydney to English parents and the youngest of five children, Jackman has a communications degree with a journalism major from the University of Technology, Sydney. After graduating, he pursued drama at the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts, immediately after which he was offered a starring role in the ABC TV prison drama Coriella, 1995, opposite his future wife, Deborah Lee Furness. Several TV guest roles followed as an actor and variety compere. An accomplished singer, Jackman has starred as Gaston in the Australian production of Beauty and the Beast. He appeared as Joe Gillis in the Australian production of Sunset Boulevard. In 1998, he was cast as Curly in the Royal National Theatre's production of Trevor's Nuns, Oklahoma. Jackman has made two feature films, the second of which, Erkinsville Kings, in 1999, garnered him an Australian Film Institute nomination for Best Actor in 1991. Recently, he won the part of Logan Wolverine in the Bryan Singer-directed comic book movie X-Men 2000. In his spare time, Jackman plays piano, golf, and guitar, and likes to windsurf. That's all I say on Hugh Jackman. Man, what about the new film? Let's see. Well, here's a little bit more about Hugh Jackman. I can actually see. I'm just bringing up more about Hugh Jackman here. Trademark, ruggedly handsome features, okay. Let's see. He adopted a son in 2000, met his wife, Beverly Funes, while co-starring an Australian TV series, Corelli, in 1995. Chosen as one of the People's Magazine 50 Most Beautiful People in the World 5 years in a row from 2000 to 2004. That's not 5 years, though. It says chosen as one of People's Magazine 50 Most Beautiful People in the World 5 years in a row. Oh, well, the year 2000, I guess you can say the year 2000. Oh, I had a brain fart. Yeah, I guess the year 2000 is counted as a year. So I had a brain fart there. He was one of the presenters at the 2002 Academy Awards, but says he'll think twice about attending again. He says, I slept for about an hour and have liked a little bit of sushi to come down. There'll be a lot of drunken parties back home, people betting, and that's usually what I'm at. So getting up there is in a suit and taken for a little bit is kind of bizarre. Let's see. According to comic books, Wolverine stands 5'3" in height. Jackman, who plays Wolverine, stands a whole foot taller than his character. Wait, this doesn't make any sense. If Hugh Jackman, it says Wolverine's 5'3", and Hugh Jackman stands a foot taller than his character, isn't Wolf Jackman 5'6"? Oh, no, sorry about that. It's 6'2", so, ooh. Oh, I never knew that. So they made him really, really tall. Then Wolverine's shorter than me. I'm 5'8". So Wolverine, oh, my gosh, Wolverine is really 5'4"? Or seriously? Oh, wait a minute. According to comic books, I'm sorry, let me take that back. Wolverine stands 5'3" in height. Oh. I didn't realize Wolverine was that, like, wasn't that tall. Hmm. Wow. So, I'm going to look into Wolverine even more. I'm just wondering something. You know my rants about going on about, I mean, I can't say I really know. I'm going to have to study about X-Men because now I'm sitting here thinking and my mind is clicking. X-Men, I was like, I love Hugh Jackman and stuff. Now, thinking about this, 5'3", and everything over, like, what I've been reading about Asia, where does Wolverine come from? Because you really, really think about what I'm saying right here, what I'm trying to put in people's minds, because I know a little bit about Wolverine. I don't know, but is Wolverine really Asian? I don't know, because I'm sitting here thinking, it's clicking in my mind now. And like I said, I don't know. I can't say anything about, like, you know, I go on the rants about what they've done to, like, Bruce Lee for over years and what they've done to Asians and films and stuff. But I'm just sitting here, like I said, I don't know too much about Wolverine. And Hugh Jackman, 6'2" tall. But in the comic books, we're just reading on the IMDb, I did not know Wolverine is supposed to be 5'3". And they show in the comic books that Wolverine's over in Japan. I don't know if it's the dropping of the bomb in Hiroshima. And it shows Wolverine protecting a Japanese soldier. And I just don't know. Is Wolverine Asian? Because I don't have a clue whatsoever. But it kind of would make sense. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to sound stereotypical, but, I mean, like, in films, you know, if you really think about it, if he changed his size, that's 5'3" in the comic books. So, let me get this straight. He's about how many inches difference from 6'2" to 5'3"? Oh, my God. That's a big difference. Now I'm going live on the air, and I'm going to look up, I'm looking up Wolverine, because I want to know exactly the origins of Wolverine. Where exactly did he come from? And, I mean, I don't really know from, you know, I didn't really read Wolverine comic books. I mean, what's the cartoon? But now this has got my mind going and trying to see about Wolverine. Give me one moment. I'm going to try to, like, Google Wolverine and find out Wolverine. Okay. Let me see. Okay, going back. Now, I can't really trust Wikipedia. I'm just reading what it says here, because anybody can update this. It's a fictional character. Wolverine is a fictional character, a superhero that appears in comic books published by Marvel Comics. And born James Hollett. I don't know. This is what Wikipedia say. I don't always trust it because anybody can actually do it. And commonly known as Logan, which we all know it's Logan. Wolverine is a mutant, possesses animal keen senses, enhanced physical capabilities, and a healing factor that allows him to recover from virtually any wound, disease, or toxin at an accelerated rate. The healing factor also slows down his aging process, enabling him to live beyond a normal human lifespan. His powerful healing factor enabled him to survive having three near indestructible metal alloy, adamantium, bone to a skeleton, he is most often depicted as a member of the X-Men, Alpha Flight, or later the Avengers. Let's see. It goes way back. I guess he was created. I don't know the date he was actually created, because the character first appeared in the last panel of The Incredible Hulk, number 180, with his first full appearance in 181, cover date in November 1974. He was created by writer Len Wein and Marvel art director John Romita Sr., who designed the character and was first drawn for publication by Herb Trimpe. Once again, this is from Wikipedia, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know too much about Wolverine. I mean, I liked his, the films and cartoons, but just reading what it said on the IMDb page about Hugh Jackman, it was stating that Wolverine is 5'3" and that Hugh Jackman's 6'2". And I'm just trying to find out what is his origin? I mean, I know going back here, it's going back since 2008, but I want to know the history of Wolverine. Maybe I do need to go see, just looking up Wolverine's next appearance. But where is he exactly from? Let's see. I've just gone because it goes 1975. First intended origin. Okay, let's see. Despite suggestions that co-creator Len Wein originally intended for Logan to be a mutated Wolverine cub, evolved to humanoid form by an already established Marvel genetics high evolutionary, Wein denies this. But I readily admit that my original idea was for Wolf's claws to extend from the back of his gloves. I absolutely did not intend to make Logan a mutant Wolverine. I write stories about human beings, not evolved animals, with apologies for any story I may have written that involved the high evolutionary. The mutant Wolverine thing came about long after I was no longer involved with the book. I'm not certain if the idea was first suggested by Chris Claremont, the late much-missed Dave Cochran, or John Byrne when he came aboard as an artist, but it most certainly did not start with me. And it's still, I'm trying to look to see biological, I don't know, where can we find information about where Wolverine came from? And this doesn't, it's not saying, but it's saying, see, this is what I was saying, use the drawing, it's gone face of Sabretooth, and it's going on and on more and more. It says, Wolverine being approximately 6 years old, having served in World War II after escaping from Sabretooth, who was approximately 120 years old, the plan had been for Wolverine to have been almost crushed in an accident. He would discover when attempting to stand for the first time after recovering that his healing factor does not work on bones and legs and merely break. He then spends over a decade in the hospital bed, almost going mad, when the Canadian government approaches him with the idea of replacing the skeleton one bone at a time with Andominion, the cause being a surprise, his origin, too, was never used. Fictional character biography. I'm just trying to look. I'm going to see. Let's see. The character is a fictional. Now, this is on Wikipedia. As much as I don't know if this is true or not, it says the character's fictional origin story was told in the 2001-2000 series miniseries Origin. Wolverine was born as James Holt in Alberta, Canada, in the late 1880s to rich farm owners John and Elizabeth Holt. I think that's how it is. The original miniseries insinuates in the Wolverine Goes to Hell story later fully reveals, however, that he is actually the illegitimate son of Hollis' groundkeeper, Thomas Logan. After being thrown off the Hollis' property for violent action perpetrated by his own son named simply Dog, Thomas returns to the Hollis Manor and kills John Hollis. In retaliation, young James kills. So, does that mean? So, that means Wolverine Logan was adopted by a Canadian, by a family in Canada, John and Elizabeth Hollett. And his father, Thomas, returns to Hollett Man, kills John. So, where did it come from? Was it Canada? So, that means Wolverine must be Canadian? I don't know. I'll have to look this up even more into that, and maybe have an update. Because, like I said, this is Wikipedia. Anybody can put anything on here. Because it's going, let's see, James is cast out by his mother, who then kills herself. He flees with his childhood companion, Rose, who closely resembles Jean Grey, and grows into manhood in a mining colony in the Yukon Territory, adopting the name Logan. After accidentally killing Rose with his claws, Logan leaves the colony and leaves for a first time in the wilderness among wolves. Until returning to civilization, residing with the Blackfoot Indians, following the death of his Blackfoot lover, Silver Fox, at the hands of Sabretooth, he is ushered into Canadian military during World War I. Logan then spends time in Matacor before settling in Japan, where he marries Ishu and has a son, Dakin. Okay, so I was asking people about this. I guess Wolverine does have a son. Okay, so that's how he gets to Japan. Oh, okay, I gotcha. During World War II, Logan teams up with Captain America and continues a career as soldier of fortune and adventure. He then serves with the 1st Canadian Parachute Battalion during D-Day in the CIA before being recruited by Team X as a Black Ops unit. Okay, so far, this is starting to make a little sense. It's like, how did he get over to Japan and stuff like that? So that's how it's making a little bit more sense. Because when I was looking in the commercial, I haven't seen Wolverine yet, but I was just sitting there wondering, okay, now if he is from Canada, that explains how he got to Japan. So do you see why I was saying, is he Asian? It has nothing to do with the height, but it keeps going back to Japan, where things that I'm thinking with Wolverine, and it's like, maybe he's Asian. So Wolverine lived in Canada, but his father, maybe I can actually, Groundskeeper Thomas Logan. So I'm going to click on what it says, Wikipedia. Fictional character, he is the father of Dog Logan. Let's see. It does say Thomas Logan, which is Wolverine's, I guess, father. I'm getting all mixed up here. Okay, all right, I got it. Thomas Logan is a fictional character in the Marvel Comics universe, the biological father of Wolverine of the X-Men. This is just like it says, it's showing on here, and Thomas Logan actually looks like Wolverine on the picture. And it says he was featured in the limited series Origin, which detailed the youth and formative years of Wolverine. It was published from November 2001 to July 2002. So, all right. So it says that Wolverine lived in Canada, and his father was Thomas Logan. But does that mean is he Canadian? Okay. Let's see. And this is about Wolverine's father. It says Thomas Logan lives in Alberta, Canada during the late 19th century and is the groundskeeper for the Howitt Estate. Logan is a very short-tempered man and is known to be a heavy drinker. He is the father of Dog Logan, but his exact date of birth is unknown. Thomas is abusive towards Dog, which is, you know, Wolverine. He called his son Dog. That's terrible. And often beating him severely and introduces his boy to alcohol, Logan has a violent temper, a mean disposition, flies into an uncontrollable rage, and is jealous of the Howitts and their great fortune. It says more about Wolverine's dad. It says, after being fired from his position and kicked off the estate for failing to control his son, Thomas returns to the house in the middle of the night armed and with his son, Dog. He sneaks into the bedroom John and Elizabeth Howlett share and tries to persuade her to leave with him. It is here that a secret affair between the two is implied. Before Elizabeth can reply, Howlett returns to the bedroom and is confronted by Logan. After a heated exchange, Logan shoots and kills Howlett. He is, in turn, killed by James Howlett. When the youth drives his bone claws into Thomas's chest, James' mutation is triggered by the trauma seeing his father killed before his eyes. The series hints that he and Elizabeth Howlett have been involved in a secret romantic relationship for years. It is thus implied that Thomas is Wolverine's biological father, with the adult James Howlett looking exactly like him. Okay, so I see that. Well, it does seem like that Wolverine is going to be a very interesting film to see, so I'm very much interested in seeing that. So it's just like trying to learn about, you know, where Wolverine came from. And, I mean, I could go on and talk about Jackie Chan, but looking to see at this, now do you see why I go, this is really strange. I love Hugh Jackman. I think he's very, very sexy and stuff like that, but it's just weird that if Wolverine is supposed to be 5'3", Hugh Jackman is 6'2", I mean, doesn't that kind of change things quite a bit? If they do that, I mean, you can't tell me there's not an actor that would be great for a role that's 5'3". Maybe, I guess with films, they just have a person that is known, a name that's known to bring in the money. But I just sit there and wonder, I wonder if half the fan films out there, I mean, you guys know that, fan films and stuff, and people that don't have a lot of money, and you've seen it, like Star Wars and such, and they've done tremendous jobs. And I guess I can understand the business point of view that they put in a film a name actor and it brings in the money. But what about the fans? Do you know what I'm saying? The fans that really are diehard fans about these comic book characters and such. And I'm just sitting there sitting, thinking, wondering, when Hugh Jackman, because like I said, I had no idea how tall Wolverine, which is supposed to be 5'3", and Hugh Jackman is 6'2". And the people that do follow the Wolverine comics, I wonder what would happen. I don't know. I wonder if they would have flipped their lids finding out that, you know, at that time that someone as tall as Hugh Jackman was playing Wolverine. He does a good job, but I had no clue whatsoever. And trying to figure out, well, if he's from Japan, like I said, I didn't know the backstory of Wolverine, thinking maybe Wolverine's supposed to be Asian? I don't know. I just, like, now that I read that, but when that, once again, it's Wikipedia, and anybody can just, like, do some stuff here. I'm trying to get to some emails. Everyone that's in the chat room, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm pulling up, trying to get to some emails here. I do apologize. I don't know if it's a time zone thing, the person that was supposed to be my guest. I will try to get the person on my show. I tend to think, like I said, I try to get explain where I am Standard Eastern Time. Once again, I apologize. My time zone is Standard Eastern Time, you know, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time, and Sundays at noontime. So I apologize that I don't have my guest. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I wasn't clear, and I apologize about that. I could have been wrong. I thought, you know, so I apologize once again about that. And I'm just going through some things that I'm interested in. You know, besides talking about Jackie Chan, okay, because people want to know, ask me questions, and I'm trying to answer some things that I'm interested in. So I'm trying to pull up another films to watch for. And there's another one that I really, really am excited about, but I'm going to have to wait to see. I grew up, you know, geek girl, nerd girl, the anime that I watched back in the, great, I'm going to tell you, it comes to how my age is by this, if people know what I'm talking about. In the 70s and 80s, there was a cartoon that I lived for Saturday mornings. It was like 7:30, I think it was WLVI 56. I would get up so early to watch this show Saturday mornings. It was on the 7:30 Standard Eastern Time where I lived back in Boston. And it was called Battle of the Planets, and it was G-Force. And they had, it was actually Gatchaman, if I'm saying that correctly, because it's Japanese animation. But in America, it was called, you know, Battle of the Planets, G-Force. And one of the lead characters named Mark, he was the leader of G-Force, and the voice was Casey Kasem, and he was a radio personality, and he had the countdown. I don't know if people knew that, but Casey Kasem was the voice of Mark in the American, I don't know if you can say version because it is a Japanese cartoon, I mean American voices. He was the lead of Mark in Battle of the Planets and G-Force. And every Saturday morning, I loved seeing this show and, you know, hearing the theme, getting all excited because it was just like I said, a geek girl, nerd girl. I guess nowadays they have something when we used to dress up before. We didn't have a term for it. We just dressed up and made our own costumes, stitched things together. And, I mean, they're so, like, elegant and extravagant nowadays. And we just went to Comic-Con conventions and stuff and just went with, you know, whatever best we did. And we actually took our lives into our own hands because going to Comic-Con conventions and stuff, you literally got the crap kicked out of you for going to Comic-Con conventions. No, I'm not kidding. Nowadays, it's so different. I'm very happy that it's changed, and I guess I guess it is really kind of cool to go to Comic-Con conventions, but believe me, years ago, going to Comic-Con conventions. You actually took your life into your own hands. And it was just crazy. But now I see the costumes and stuff. Or I guess if you want to say not much of a costume on some people, because I can understand, I mean, whatever women want to do, you know, costume stuff, I get that. You know, and people are like, oh, Shelly, you must be jealous because these women are so beautiful and young and blah. I go, no, I'm actually, you can say I'm a cosplay mama. You know, I went back in the day when we went, no matter what, we went to the shows and we didn't, you know, we didn't just go to show off our tits and our butts. We went there because we really, really loved the shows. And we didn't think, I mean, any girls that really went there, you know, we weren't thinking of being the cool nerds and stuff to get the more attention of men, because I see women do this. From my point of view, this is just my opinion, I'm not saying, but just seeing it, not all women, but when I think that what some women do is they actually dress up a certain way and they let their you know, their thingies hang out. And like I said, you know, whatever, and I really think some of the costumes are cool, but sometimes I think what some women want to do is to dress up in a certain way so they get more attention from men. Look at me, I'm pretty. And I'm thinking, you know, from years ago as a kid, I went to Comic-Con conventions, sci-fi conventions, you know, movie theaters, nerd geek, loving Star Trek, wanting to sit in Star Trek, you know, not thinking of being the, you know, a superstar or anything. We wanted to be part of going on the adventure, going out there and wanting to hang out with Sulu, you know, Spock, you know, and just being on in other planets and traveling, you know, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Starship Enterprise. It's 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilization, to boldly go where no man has gone before. And it's like, you know, like Battlestar Galactica, Space 1999. I mean, I could go on, you know, Star Wars and everything like that. I was there, you know, seeing these things. Yes, you're going to get pretty close to my age. I don't care. It's not about the age. It's about loving it, like really loving it with all your heart. Yes, I'm a mama geek, mama nerd. It's exactly what I am. And loving that. And like I said, I'm so happy that nowadays it's changed so much. You can go there and enjoy it, but it's kind of like, I think it's more of an attention thing sometimes. I mean, you know, it's like, it seems like less skin is a costume nowadays. That's exactly, you know, what it is. I'm not complaining. And I've seen a lot of beautiful women. But when I see someone, I had a guest on my show, Christopher Cho, I'm hoping I'm saying it right, and I'm hoping to have him on my show again. The guy, he made the outfit himself of Aquaman, okay? And it's like, I'm told don't go to people's things and say negative things, so, you know, like I said, whatever women want to do, that's perfectly fine. I went and I was checking out this guy's costume, and now we're friends on Facebook and stuff. He made a really good costume. It was Aquaman. And even the chainmail, the tridents and everything like that, I thought that was really cool. He did it himself. He did Captain America. Some of the things that were on there, now this is just cosplay dressing up. And people were saying to him, I'm not kidding, these were some of the things, and I was like, he's not making a film, he's dressing up. And literally some of the things that were said to him, and I was just like floored, and I'm like, what? Someone actually told him, because he's Asian, he should have went as Jackie Chan. And I'm sitting here going, what? 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 And it was just really wrong. And I'm like, dude, Aquaman's white. And I'm sitting here going, man, it's about dressing up. Now, you can have all girls sitting around half naked and stuff like that and think, fine. Okay, you want to do that, that's their business. But this guy, from head to toe, you know, made the costume himself, and people saying, oh, that costume, oh, that stinks and stuff. Well, when I looked at it, and you see the costume at different angles, it wasn't the best angle for the costume, but you see other angles, and the costume's really good. He took his time. Do you know how much it is to do that much detail, the chainmail and stuff like that? I'm telling you, the costumes, even on film sets, to do it hand-stitched and everything like that, it's a lot of work. And I'm sitting there, and someone says, where's your blonde wig? You know, stupid that probably would look on the guy. I mean, seriously, you have to really think about it. I mean, come on. And I give them a lot of credit to that, and, like, people giving them crap, and I just don't understand it. Yet women can go around with hardly anything. Next thing you're going to know, I mean, at these conventions, really the conventions, the comic book and sci-fi conventions, they have families that go there. There's little kids and people like, well, you know, I can do what I want. I can do what I want. Yeah, we understand that. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just changed so much, and people are like, oh, you're just, you know, oh, and this and that. No, I like costumes. And when I see a woman, I give props. I mean, like, I've been around models and a lot of stunt women. These women are gorgeous. I'm telling you, these women, you know, all different hair colors, blondes, brunettes, redheads. Let me tell you, these women are gorgeous. So I know what beautiful, sexy women are, and they can handle themselves on set. And I've seen them in full body costume, and they can move. And I'm telling you about, these are fit women, you know, and they have, you know, you know, they have cleavage and such. And so it's like, believe me, I know what sexy women are. And I always give a compliment to a beautiful woman. Why can't I give a compliment to a beautiful woman? But, like I said, with the costume, I like to see more costume. Because it seems like you're putting work into something and taking the time than just putting on a G-string. And you know what's going to happen? Someday someone, I'm not kidding, someone's going to show up in a costume. There's going to be little tape on just the nipples. There's going to be a little tiny, no, I'm not kidding, someone's going to do this. You know what's coming to it. And just put a little spot between their hoo-has. Like, just going to do that and say, this is my costume. It's going to come down to that. Now, where do you go to stop? I mean, come on. There's got to be some sort of line at these conventions. I mean, it's going to end up being like porn someday. And people like saying, no, it's not, just because somebody wears something. But really, I just, people are going to hate me for saying these things. I'm not saying how a woman dresses does not mean she's a slut. Because believe me, if anybody ever laid a hand on a woman just because she's walking around in a G-string at a convention like that, and a guy ever tried to touch a woman in a G-string, I would be the first to flip a guy over their shoulder, because no man should lay their hands on a woman. But when I see a woman in a costume, and she's got it from head to toe with detail, I'm like, oh, look at that sexy woman. She really put a lot of work into it. And believe me, I know that working out and such, it does take a lot of work. But when I see a sexy woman with full costume, yeah, that's a woman that gets my attention. Especially if she's, you know, if she's dressed in a cosplay character. And another thing, too, if she's got the background in martial arts and she's doing a cosplay character, oh, my God. I would cast that woman in a film. Let me tell you, it's like looking at this stuff and looking at some of the ones. Believe me, if you see some of the costumes. And even I saw this one woman, this older woman. I think she was in a wheelchair, but she had this really, really cool costume. And I'm going to try to think of how to say it, Maleficent. You know that the old witch, I think it was from Sleeping Beauty, and she was – you know, she had her wheelchair all decorated. She was decorated. I go, wow, that is a cool costume. And some other costumes. And what was really cool is I actually saw a Wonder Woman costume and this other Supergirl costume. It was really awesome. And the sweetest thing, I mean, I think it was Captain America in the cosplay. And there was a little girl in a wheelchair. And the girl who dressed up as Wonder Woman was on one side. And the girl that dressed up as Superwoman was on another side of this girl in a wheelchair. And she had an oxygen tank. And I was like, that's the heart of cosplay. That's the things we be showing off as women ourselves. It's like, you know, if you're going to do something, I mean, these women were doing it from their hearts. So the woman, I don't know their names, and I would have read their names, because where I'm seeing the site with the pictures, they don't have the picture with the names. And I've got to give these two women props. And the guy that dressed up as Captain America, and they have a little girl there and, you know, making her day. Those are the cosplayers that I see are really great cosplayers, because they're playing and they're doing something from their heart. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that's beautiful, because if you can take something you love and do something to make someone's day, you don't know. You don't know how bad someone's day is. And, you know, going on thinking when I was, you know, doing acting in dinner theater, it wasn't how much I was getting paid. I mean, yeah, granted I was getting paid $25 an hour to do dinner theater, But doing the crazy characters, you know, I wasn't, it was a wedding show. I never played the bride. I always play the bridesmaid. I know, you know, always a bridesmaid and never a bride. Yes, exactly. But when I was doing shows, and it was kind of scripted, but it was more like improv, and we have live audiences, and you have to be on the spot, on stay in character, no matter if people are at the show drunk or whatever. When you were doing the show, and when I was doing the show, I wasn't thinking about getting paid, where I've had people, audience members come back to me, and they would tell me they would have the worst day of their life, and they'd come and see me in a show, and it'd make them smile, make them happy. And I think I still have the letter and the email from my company. This woman, I think it was, I don't know what birthday it was, but her husband was dying, and she decided to go to show to celebrate a birthday. And it was just like one of those things. She wrote to the company that I was working with. And like I said, I think I still, somewhere in my email, I still have this. And this is the reason why I had liked acting and doing the dinner theater. It made her day, and it made her really happy, and she enjoyed a birthday. So her husband passed away, and then she came back with her son to see the show. And realizing with acting, and you can do something like that to cheer someone up, that's why I wanted to act. And that's what I wanted to do, is to keep doing this and giving my heart. And I, once again, I do apologize, because sometimes when I'm writing on the internet, it is very hard for me to write. And I'm trying not to make excuses. I'm like, people still don't understand. And it's not talking about, you know, becoming a celebrity. Or if I talk about my film brother, Jay Giannone, it's because I'm happy. I get excited. I go, look at this, look at this. And I think people take it the wrong way. I said, no, he's working. He's a self-made guy, and that's what I'm trying to share. And things I'm doing, you know, trying to become a self-made woman, sharing and showing my joy. But I guess when I'm writing, it's coming off the wrong way, and it's really hard. And, you know, trying to express myself the best way that I possibly can, you know, doing things from my heart, I guess, you know, maybe I'm not the best of writers to explain things, you know, try to help and give things back to other people, you know. And doing this thing for a year, I mean, right now I could probably be out half naked on a beach somewhere because it's so beautiful outside, instead of sitting in a radio show, you know, sitting there half naked in a bikini or something, just having like a nice, you know, alcoholic beverage. But no, here I'm doing the radio show and just keep trying my hardest to get the guests, to bring the excitement, to head towards syndication. That's my dream and goal. And, you know, it's not the fact I never think of becoming a celebrity. I mean, I have a personality. It's great and huge, and the energy, and it's really hard because on Facebook and things, that only shows you on the internet a small percentage of your life on Facebook. No one's going to ever, you know, understand my energy. People have to meet me in person, but it's hard to get to people because, like I said, there's so many seminars and things out there that I can't get to, and I've been connecting the best I can on the internet because the art of communication is lost on the internet. That's what happens because nowadays everything is done electronically, so I said, okay, let's talk on the phone. If not talk on the phone, let's Skype. The best thing to do is Skype because, you know, no matter how I write, it just comes off sometimes the wrong way on the internet. And sometimes I don't even want to write because I was like, why should I keep trying? People like filter Shelley. You can, you know, you're not a bad writer. I keep trying to write to get your point across. And sometimes I'm like, maybe I should just stop writing because it's not coming off the right way, you know. And people say, keep going, Shelley, keep going. And people will get you. Someday they'll really, really get you. And, you know, I'm just praying that I will become a better writer. And along the way, I'm just trying to help people. That's all that I've tried to do, and, you know, do my best. Once again, I'm not a big, huge celebrity, but to think that, you know, to become successful in my own way, I think to love what I do and to get paid for it and to live my life that way. Maybe not to live in a mansion, but, you know, imagine not to have a mortgage, to have it paid off, not the biggest house in the world. You know, and it's not the fact of having the most expensive car, but things, it's like, you know, I love the movie theater. People think I'm nuts. I says, yeah, I would spend time in the movie theater. I would watch every single month. I think I would watch every single movie at the movie theater. Because I love films. And you just, like, when you have that love for passion, you want to be there. I want to be there in the theater, you know, like that big screen and just, like, live it, the exciting in the theater, the music sets the mood, and you're just there, and I'm just, like, breathing in a film. I mean, I don't feel, kind of understand that passion. And then when I get to be part of a film, realizing, understanding the hard work that the actors and the stunt people working on the set of Falcon, oh, my God. I'm so drained. I'm not kidding. You ask anybody on set when I'm going back to direct Aziz House and we're all ready to have a big meal and stuff, I actually be sitting on a floor or sitting on a chair and I fall asleep. And they're like, oh, Shelly fell asleep again. It's hard work. But getting to a point, become your own successful person, I think that's what everybody wants. You know, it's not the fact of being haters or being jealous. I think everybody in general wants their own, you know, their own happily ever after. And happily ever after is not a Disney film because there's nothing in this life that is perfect. We as human beings, no one's perfect in this world. And I'm so imperfect. I'm just like, you know, I have my scars. I've done mistakes. And it's like, okay, done mistakes. Don't do it again. Just stay on your path. You just got to keep going and going and going. And that's what you got to do. And if I can help people along the way, bring in, you know, helping doing promotions, especially if my radio show's heading towards syndication now, and radio shows are looking at my radio show now, you know, if I have chances to bring, you know, guests on and it gives them, you know, free promotion to help them, I feel lucky that I can do that. You know, people that have given to me, you know, in the last couple years have given me advice. They're not handing me anything. They're like, you know, people that have been in the business have given me advice. I feel very lucky and very blessed that people that I've looked up to my whole life, you know, in films, I get to talk with them and they give me advice. And I'm very thankful for that. And I hope I can pass on people that are starting out, people that are young, you know, give them advice because maybe they can be the best that they can be. And that's all I really want is to help people. Maybe I'm not a big, huge celebrity. You know, I'm just me, myself, and I, and hope to continue to grow. And I think it would be nice for those that never had a chance in acting or anything and just dream of it and think that they're not good enough, maybe just to speak with people, to have their voice, and just like Stan Lee and the saying is, what is it? It says, with great power comes great responsibility. That would be kind of cool, you know, just to have even a bigger voice. But there's good things that I want to do too, because being affiliated with Ordinary Woman, with Charlie's show, she does a lot of like fundraisers, and I think she just passed her crown down to another person because she was doing pageants for a while. Now she's going to get back into doing shows and just bring it up again, the message on her show. Just give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. With here, just to announce once again, Tuesday night, Standard Eastern Time. Remember, it's Standard Eastern. Seth Chitwood and the actors from Englewood Films on her show Tuesday 9 to 11 p.m. Okay, my show is getting close to being over, and I'm going to play one more song before I let you go in. I do apologize very much from the bottom of my heart that my guest hadn't called in, and I will see if he can make it another time. I've got a feeling it's something to do with the time zone. I really think it is, and I thought I was sure about it, but it could be my fault, so I apologize. I just will try to get my guest on the show again. So everyone out there that's tuned in, I don't like to sit and look like, you know, a lie at anyone. I really think it had to do something with the time zone, and people are very busy and such, so I apologize. And I will have a list, see if I can get this person back in again. So I'm very sorry, everyone out there. You know, try to do my best, try to wing it as best as I could. So, anyway, everyone out there, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I can finally take a shower. Amen. And I will be announcing guests on my show, and I am going to be doing that, setting it up. People have been sending me their bios and stuff, and you know, I will let everyone know ahead of time for people being on my show. Once again, everybody, you know, if you have a dream out there, just remember you're as good as anybody else. It's just one step at a time, finding the people that you can blend with. That's what matters, because you never know. You never can tell where your life is going to go. Follow your path, no matter how hard it is. Anyway, I'm going to end the show with Battle Song. It is by Pisces Project, Horace Zakora DeLisa, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari. And it's actually, Battle Song is actually going to be for our the film Falcare, where if anybody would like to help us out, we are in need of help, of funds for our film Falcare. And I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart. We do need help for funds for our film with Falcare. It's F-A-L-C-Y-Y-R. And there's no stunt doubles. We are doing the fight scenes ourselves. And this is, man, this is really hard. Really, really hard. I never thought I'd be doing this. And, yeah, everyone, just remember that you're as good as anybody else. And I'm ending this show with the song called Battle Song. So just give me one moment here. And everyone have a good Sunday.